Welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast with your host, Sean St. Hill. Sean is the CEO of Tech and Main, a technology consulting firm in Atlanta, Georgia. Listen in as thought leaders share their tips and insights about what's going on in the world of technology. And now, here's your host, Sean St. Hill.
Thank you for joining another episode of Tech and Main Presents, where we bring you the best insights from today's leaders and experts in technology. Today, we will be speaking with Matt Kestian. Matt is the CEO of 66 Degrees, a leading Google Cloud Premier partner. Matt, welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us here on the podcast. And so, Matt, with that, why don't we jump right in and have you share your background with our audience?
Excellent. Yes, I've been in the technology industry for about 25 years. I began my career at State Farm, actually as an IT administrator. And then I moved throughout my career to work at Microsoft. I had the opportunity to be an entrepreneur and own my own business with some partners called Blue Metal. I worked at EY as a partner, Google Cloud recently, and this January moved to be the CEO of 66 Degrees. So very, very fortunate to have the experiences both on the entrepreneurial side as well as the big business side, and loving it.
Oh, that's awesome. And so, Matt, your CEO there at 66 Degrees, why don't you share with us what excites you most about what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Absolutely. So 66 Degrees is all about helping our customers modernize their infrastructure, applications, data and analytics, and collaboration platforms while doing it all securely. So I have the opportunity of working with customers every day that are trying to solve some of the largest, most complex problems. I also have the fortunate opportunity to work with some really smart people at 66 Degrees who are passionate about their work and really want to build a team together that they want to work with. And that's what we're doing. We're not quite a startup. We're about 325 people, but we have that startup feel and we're growing really fast. But the biggest and best part of it is just the people I get to work with day in and day out.
Oh, that's awesome. It's always good to hear CEO like yourself talk about not the customer, although the customers are important, right? Yep. And not even the service or the product that you put out, but it's the people, right? It's the ones that you rub shoulders and elbows with, so to speak, on a day-to-day basis, right? The ones that take your vision, take that passion that you have, and then go run with it and make it a reality. So very glad to hear you say that.
Excellent.
All right. So Matt, let me ask you, what are the major issues would you say are currently facing your clients?
Yeah, I mean, it's things that have been facing us for a long time, except more pronounced right now. And what I mean by that is businesses today are competing in tough markets. They're dealing with uncertainties with the economy. They're dealing with uncertainties in geopolitical aspects. But what remains constant is they need to innovate and they need to compete. And innovation for them, for our clients, is really about rethinking how they do their businesses. It's what I found now, it's not about some of the mundane tasks of how do I make something work a little faster? It's really about reimagining what's possible with your business. And it was pretty telling when we've heard Satya Nadella and Thomas Kurian, who are both leaders of the largest cloud companies, really referring to the businesses that are going through a digital transformation. And what they mean by that is a retail chain of stores is no longer just a retail business. It's a software developer. It's a company that relies on data to make decisions. The end product they deliver happens to be retail goods, but the end store is really an edge computing device now. I'd love to dive into some of that as we talk more, but it's philosophically changed from when I was a child, how businesses are run, right? If you're a taxi driver, you're not just a taxi driver. Now you're working in a social ecosystem in a gig economy. You're dealing with Uber and Lyft. If you're a financial institution, you're not just a big brick and mortar bank, you're an online application on a phone. It's just a very different world, and companies are thinking differently how they do things. Retailers that you'll see as traditional automotive parts retailers, right? They're rethinking how they compete in a market with Amazon Web Services, or Amazon, I should say, or Walmart. It's a very, very different world. And I think you have to be technologically savvy to apply solutions to the problems that you're facing or the opportunities you see.
Matt, I couldn't agree more. Even one of the examples that you gave as far as Uber and Lyft, when was the last time we heard of an actual taxi company, especially the ones in New York, right, where you had to pay upwards of $1 million for the medallion, right, just for the right to be able to pick people up and drop them off? That is now a thing of the past.
Right? It really is.
So when you think about it, it is to what age you have to be to drive for Uber or Lyft, maybe it's 18 or 21, right? But if you think about it, a 21-year-old now has the ability to be an entrepreneur, right, in between their class schedule, let's say.
Sean, I'll tell you, it also has helped the consumer. I live in the suburbs outside of Chicago. Where I live, there's not a lot of taxis. And so I'd have to call a taxi, get online. If I get on an Uber or Lyft application, it'll tell me someone's going to be there in 2 minutes. That's a really different world than when I was growing up.
No, and let's tug on that string a little more, right? When you talk about retail, I very rarely go to the grocery store now.
Yeah.
And why is that? Here in the greater Atlanta area where my family, the major stores here are Kroger and Publix, right? Well, who wants to have to spend an entire Saturday or Sunday morning in the grocery store, right? I mean, the app has your purchase history, right? And for $9 or $10, rather than you going to get your groceries come to you. And oh, by the way, I don't have to stand in line if I get home and find that produce isn't to my satisfaction. Matt, I can just go into that app and alert customer service, and then some sort of credit or some sort of help is offered. I mean, so all the way through from that retail establishment to me, the end user, that end customer, I mean, it is frankly pretty seamless, Matt.
Sure. Sean, absolutely. And the smartest grocers have either kind of come with their own model to do that delivery or have partnered up with delivery companies. But I'll tell you, it's there's more fundamentals. Let's say you did want to go to the store. My spouse and I, when we go, let's say we're going to watch a baseball game on a Saturday and we're going to have friends over in the backyard. Now I can actually walk in a store. I can go to a cooler. The cooler can see who I am, understands what's on the shelves in the cooler, can detect if that store shelf is empty, can make a determination if there's let's say my beer of choice is not there, and maybe it's in the back of the store. It can alert the manager to that. Or let's say that's not the store. It can actually alert the distributor to place a new order. Fundamentally, that's how things are working. And if you've gone into a drugstore recently, you've gone by the cooler aisles, it's even more telling. There'll be a 4K screen in front of you with edge computing devices, and that'll see who you are, see what you're looking at, understand what you've just pulled out of the cooler, and recommend additional products for you. Like the way this is working is just completely changing.
Oh, it is. And so that's actually a nice segue into this next question. And so, Matt, we've been talking about the different ways that we're experiencing this new technology, this edge technology, as you're describing it. Specifically, how does 66 Degrees help their clients solve for some of the issues that we've been addressing?
So both of those scenarios that I just gave you about the cooler screen actually detecting who you are,
yes,
as well as the stock shelves, those are real scenarios. Those are real scenarios that 66 Degrees has helped work on.
Ah, okay.
So it's really interesting, because what we do is if we do all of the standard things that a professional services cloud organization would do, right? And when you think about that's It's helped people move into the cloud, like bringing their servers or fundamental infrastructure. But the more impactful and the more unique pieces that we do is the innovation piece. We actually have a process of co-innovation. So we'll sit down with customers. We'll kind of walk with them what they're trying to accomplish with their business, understand their goals, and rethink and reimagine how that process can flow. So as an example, the technologies out there today that I mentioned about the coolers or the shelves.
Yes.
There's a concept within Google Cloud called Vision AI, and specifically Store Vision AI. We'll take pictures. We'll look at that picture. It'll analyze what's in that picture, and it'll make determinations based on models of what actions should be taken. That's literally what that is.
Okay.
There's data within the data systems that store massive amounts of data, like BigQuery, and can process very quickly and have machine learning models applying directly on top of them. These are things that are light years ahead of most other platforms and fundamentally fairly straightforward to put together if you know how to architect, design, and build those solutions.
Okay. And so, Matt, from what you're talking about, it sounds like you have the ability to go to, I'll just say hypothetically, a Jewel Osco,
right,
or a Dominick's there, Chicagoland area. You and your team would be able to go to them, and as you described earlier, have that display that can say, hey, your beverage of choice, your waffles of choice, what have you. Here's your waffles, but you may also want to get syrup or something of that nature.
Yes, exactly. Now, those are not our customers, so asterisk that, because I won't talk
exactly,
about
that. Exactly, right.
Yep.
But, very good.
but that is exactly what we do. We work with what we call enterprise and select clients, so larger clients, as well as the corporate clients. And we address their most critical business needs. Another example outside of that are, without saying, companies that provide home healthcare and the need for certain solutions to monitor, let's say heart rates or dialysis, the ability to take that and put it through a device to go online so that person does not have to leave their home and go sit in a chair for 8 hours in a week. They can have this process done at home. Those are the types of activities we are doing. As well as fundamental things like, hey, how do we build just a secure environment with infrastructure around it to provide computational needs or disaster recovery? The fun pieces are those cutting edge technologies, because you get to really rethink what's happening and you can see immediate value as it's rolling out. But we can do it. Our company kind of does end-to-end professional services on Google Cloud. So we do everything from what we consider the most rudimentary and mundane activities to kind of the highest and cutting edge activities for our clients.
Okay. And so, Matt, let's have you brag a little bit more about 66 Degrees and talk to us your ideal client, or maybe exclude some size clients or maybe verticals. What does that client ecosystem look like?
So it's a great question. It's hard to say a perfectly ideal, but I'll give you one aspect. It's not usually the size of the employee base of the client. It's the size of their aspirations. That's our ideal client. So we've worked with gaming companies. Yes, I'll give an example. We've worked with gaming companies that have 50 employees, but their aspirations are they want to own a digital crypto market within the gaming system to provide orders, right? Okay. So maybe they're 50 people, but their aspirations are big. They're doing technology. They have highly technologically advanced needs. So that would be one. That'd be an example. And they're looking for us to help modernize their development, provide application development expertise and architecture expertise. And they're doing something that's critical, all the way to really, really large healthcare companies on the payer provider side that really are trying to advance themselves and modernize their infrastructure so they can provide care more inexpensively to their clients. Both of those are equally good clients for us. It's the aspirations that they want to achieve. If someone simply wants to move pieces of infrastructure from one place to the other, that's all they want to do. I feel that's a fairly low value capability, and many, many, many professional service organizations can do that. Okay. We can do it. Many companies can. That's not really our model. We have 325 folks that are highly expert in their fields, broken down within their disciplines, and we're here to help our clients with those tough problems. We also have customers who say, hey, listen, I just need help because I don't have the expertise, but I'm not looking for a big, big project. Maybe what I need is I just need your expertise to come with us and be on our staff for a while. So we have this concept of embedded engineering, where we take our engineers and we actually put them with the customer for a period of time to accomplish certain goals. And they'll work with that customer and help bring their staff up while also doing work that the staff needs to become educated on moving forward. All three of those are equally good, but there's always the fun ones. Like I mentioned about the stocking the shelves and visual AI and large amounts of data. Those are ones that you look at and you go, wow, you don't get to see that all the time, but the team would love it if we could have projects like that every day.
Oh, I bet they would. All right. So let me ask you this. Let's talk to the younger people that are listening and they're interested in career and technology. What sage wisdom do you have for those younger folks?
First off, if they decide on a career in technology, I'd say, good job. That's a good first decision. It's not going away. The second piece is, and this is something I wish I had known, but I really didn't learn about it until I had to manage and lead people. Every person has natural strengths they're born with. Intelligence, empathy, the ability to communicate well. Those are things that are not easily trained. And they have aspirations or will, like what they want to accomplish, how much drive they have. And over when you're just coming up, that's what should be judged the most, right? Your natural strengths and your aspirations. And then what you need to focus on is someone that's early in career is what investments do you want to make in yourself? And investments can be many things. Investments can be life experiences. It could be going in the military. It could be education in a university. It could be taking that first job. I know individuals before they moved to the technology realm that they had high aspirations, high strengths, but they didn't have the investment and they've gotten certain programs and they had a plan and goals. And now they're lead architects in some of the biggest companies, biggest technology companies in the world. So don't sell yourself short because you don't have the experience today. Don't sell yourself short because you feel like people are saying that you can't do something because you don't have the experience. Prove people wrong. But most of all, in early in career, be open, be hungry, and members of wanting to learn and develop, and show that you have the aspirations because that pays off. One other thing is, you have to decide on what your long-term career goals are. Do you want to be yourself and an entrepreneur? Do you want to work for a big business? Do you want to work for a small business? Because I believe setting those goals and aspirations, while that may not be exactly what you do right away, when you have that in your mind, you begin to work towards it. So having those long-term goals is important.
Couldn't agree more, Matt. And that is definitely great advice. All right. So Matt, we're going to pivot into some personal questions and sure. Get to know you a little better. And so that first question for you, sir, is name your favorite musician or band.
That's funny. I was thinking about this and I was like, well, do I really have one? I love music and it's situational and generational. So if you asked me this question in college, it'd be like the Pixies. If you asked me as I in the summertime when I hang out with your friends, it'd be music like Jack Johnson. So it's sitting down for me, it's hard. But I'd say the one constant that stayed through me are some fairly old bands that I listened to, which were the Beatles, the Guess Who, and Cat Stevens. And the reason is for me, those all bring back good memories. Every time I hear a song from them, I can just feel it. How it brings you back to a point in time, you can just feel it.
So mentioned Cat Stevens. That is actually, that was one of my dad's favorites. And so I can remember as a small kid hearing Morning Has Broken. And I think I could sing that, probably before I knew my ABCs, man. So
yeah.
So Cat Stevens, that's
By the way, for me, Morning is Broken was good, but also Father and Son was one of those that always resonated with me.
Man, oh, you're taking me back, Matt. That's that's good stuff. Yep, Beatles, Guess Who, Cat Stevens. Yeah, amazing choices for sure. How about a favorite hobby or pastime?
Well, so I play a lot of video games, but more it's a decompressor. It takes my mind off things. Like you just you can't really think about work when you're playing Halo or Red Dead Redemption. I like strategy games. I do play golf. I'm not good, but I love it. I just love being out there. So those would probably be the biggest. And then just one that I find the most soothing is just taking walks with my wife. Just when the weather is out like it is today in Chicago, the sun out, it's a little cooler. Just walking for a few blocks and talking.
Yeah, no, all good pastimes for sure. How about a favorite place to vacation?
So without a doubt, Orange County, California. So Laguna Beach is fantastic. And part of it is kind of the same feeling. You're just walking along the beach. The water's there. The temperature's perfect. And it just has a whole vibe to it, especially if it was like just about to be sunset. To me, that's just a fantastic place.
Yeah, you'll get no argument out of me there. I mean, growing up in Fort Lauderdale, I remember taking the beach for granted.
Yeah.
And whenever we go back, what's the first place we go, Matt? Right down to the beach.
Yeah. So. About Chicago. So growing up in Chicago and in Southwest suburbs, you don't see a lot of beach. And so when I get there and see it, to me, it's amazing. The whole world is open.
It's and you said something that really struck me for it. It's just a different vibe.
Yeah.
Like, well, one, being out is a different vibe in and of itself, but there's something extra special about the beach and just the sound of the waves. Just seeing like a mass of humanity just kind of walking by and everyone's good.
Yeah.
I honestly, and I mean, of course, without getting too far afield, like everyone's friendly at the beach, right? Like people who walk by, they're like, hi. and it's just so nice to be able to be a good human being and interact with people in a way where, yeah, everyone is just, they're just enjoying themselves.
And when you look out, it's so vast. When you're just looking out at the water, it just looks like it never ends.
You're just looking out and the horizon just goes on forever. Man, you got some good taste.
You too, Sean. Appreciate
Thanks.
That.
Thanks. All right. So Matt, let's ask this next question. What teacher at any level has had the greatest impact on?
Yeah, so I've had a couple. Well, there is one that stands out. There's a gentleman named Jerry Wallin. Jerry Wallin was also my wrestling coach and through high school. But he was my geometry teacher. And more than that, he was a confidant. Jerry's retired. I luckily had the opportunity to run into him recently and reconnect with a bunch of old wrestlers. But without Jerry Wallin, I would not be in this position. Because the only way I grew up in a family who was fairly large. We had five kids. My mom was a stable mom. My dad was, he worked in construction and worked hard. But with five kids working in construction, I had three choices. I was going to go in the Marines. I was going to work as a construction worker to pay for school eventually, or I was going to get a scholarship. And luckily, Jerry helped me do the latter. So not only was he a great teacher, foundationally, like at a time when a young man can go astray, he kind of kept me in check. He also helped land a life-changing position for me on a wrestling scholarship. So never forget that, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shout out to Coach Jerry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. All right. So, Matt, this last question has us jumping in the time machine. We are going to go back to 18-year-old Matt Kestian. What is the Matt of today going to tell his 18-year-old self?
Wow. One is slow down, buddy. You don't have to run so fast. That when you're young, you think that life isn't going to end and that you need to move. At least I did. And that you need to move. And sometimes you're not paying attention to what's around you. So take a breath, enjoy what you have, because it goes really quick. And people used to tell me that, not my grandparents and my mom and dad. And you go like, yeah, right. I'm 18 years old. I'm going to go out and have a good time. But it does. When you get to be my age, 53, and you're leading a company, you look back, you're like, wow, that was a blink of an eye. All right. Hopefully I got a lot more time left, but it's, I have less time more ahead of me probably than I have behind me at this point. So.
That's it. Not to get too far afield, but you're striking more nerves here. We have a freshman in high school. So just got one daughter. Honest to goodness, man. She's got half days. It's the end of the school year. And so I'm literally like picking her up at 11:30, having lunch with her. And I'm just looking at her and I'm like, holy cow, the time. Yeah. I mean, I'm literally sitting across from this rising sophomore who's smart as a whip and cracking jokes, and I'm like, I'm talking to my daughter, but I have that visual in my head of like, the first Christmas and carrying her around, right? And our first time going to Lincoln Park Zoo, shout out Chicago, and carrying her around, right? And so It's this perspective, you know. And so I love the advice that you gave, 18-year-old self. Slow down. We don't have to go a mile a minute, because life, especially as we get older, it rips by.
Sean, you're right. My daughter is now 30. My son is going to be 25. I look back when I was 21, we were all working hard, right? You're moving, and you look at that time and it just moves by, and you see her married and grown woman. And it's one of those things. It literally, one day you're changing a diaper and the next you're handing her to someone else to take care of her.
Oh, wow. All right, Matt, you're, you're tugging on some heartstrings.
I know. I actually started getting choked up. I fought it back.
Oh, wow. Yeah, bro. That's real stuff. Yeah. I'm sitting here taking it in and it's like, yeah, that's literally right around the corner. Yeah. You just treasure those moments. And, but on the flip side, right, it's amazing, especially as we're talking about our kids, it's just amazing to see wonderful human beings that they've grown up to become.
Right? I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
So, all right. Well, Matt, look, I do say this often, but sincerely, this time has gone by way too quickly.
I agree.
You are a good egg. I really do appreciate the time that you spent with us. All the best to you and the team there at 66 Degrees. But before we go, what's the best way for people to get in contact?
Yeah, they can write to letsgetyouthere@66degrees.com, or they can just connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm very easy to find. Matt Kestian. I'll be the guy from 66 Degrees in Chicago.
Okay, awesome. And Matt, we'll be sure to put that information in the show notes. But again, Matt, thank you so much for honoring us with your time. And Tech and Main Presents family, thank you as always for listening. And be sure to tune in next time when we will have another expert share their wisdom. Goodbye, friend.
Thank you very much, Sean. It was a pleasure.
Same here, Matt. Thanks. Bye now.
You've been listening to another episode of Tech and Main Presents. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Don't forget to tell your friends, and thanks for being a part of the Tech and Main Presents community.